How to Build Your Wardrobe, Part 3, Men's Hats, Watches, and Other Accessories. The key to remember with accessories is they shouldn't overpower the rest of your outfit. Accessories are like salt is to a good steak. It's going to pull out the flavor, but it shouldn't overpower it. So think about that with your clothing. You don't want a hat that is going to overpower everything else you're wearing. You don't want a tie bar, which is going to so much detract from the tie that people aren't going to notice that. It should work in harmony. It shouldn't work against. I really like also what Alan Flusser said, though, and that is that the most expensive accessories that a man will own are the ones he never uses. So make sure whenever you buy an accessory that you buy quality, but you also buy something that you're going to get a lot of miles out of, that you're going to use. And I'll use the example of my Saddleback leather briefcase. This is a $500 bag. It's not inexpensive. However, in the last year, I've used this bag probably at least 200 times. It's protected my computer. It has enabled, you know, every time I'm carrying that accessory, I feel good about it. And I'm going to be able to, the great part is I'm probably going to get another, I don't know, 30 to 50 years out of this bag. They've got a lifetime guarantee, but I don't know. I think one of my kids will steal it before then. In any case, the point I'm making is that the cost per use continues to go down the more I use it. And every time I use that accessory, it becomes more and more valuable to me because the story of how it has helped me goes a little bit longer. So again, don't be afraid to spend a little bit more to get quality, because oftentimes our accessories are the little things that people pick up on. So let's talk quickly about hats. Most guys, they're in the camp of they either like them or they dislike them. Very few people, you know, are just going to say that it just doesn't affect them. So if you're going to be wearing a hat, I think today's modern day and age, you need to have a reason to be wearing a hat. It used to be that it was the common style. Nowadays, it's seen more as a fashion statement. But if you're in an area in which you get inclement weather, I think wearing a hat is very useful. Or you're in an area in which it's incredibly hot. There's a lot of, you know, the sun's always in your face. Why not wear a hat? Why not wear something that will functionally keep the sun out of your eyes, will keep the heat off your head, and just make your life a bit easier? So hats are useful. Find a use and make sure you get the right type of hat. And don't go cheap here. If you get a cheap hat, you're going to feel like you're wearing a cheap hat. And it's probably not going to perform the way you need it to perform. Now, on the other end, I definitely realize once you make that commitment, you don't want to be stuck with something that you paid a lot of money for and you never wear. So hats are one of the things that I think it is well worth you going into a good hat shop and speaking with somebody. I know not everyone has access to this, but try to wait if you're traveling. Find one in a larger city, or if you're going to be traveling outside the United States, there are certain places in South America which, you know, the Panama hat is a lot easier to find down there. And find something that really suits you, you feel makes you look better, and then wear it and get used to wearing. Give it at least a week. You've got to get into that habit, because a hat also will instantly set you apart. Now, most people are not looking for that. Most people want to look like the pack. They don't want to stand out. But I'm hoping if you're listening to this, you're not like most people. You want to be going places. So don't be afraid that your hat is going to stand out. Instead, again, go fall back on the function and get so used to wearing it that it's almost like second nature. Also, if you're a shorter man, a great benefit of wearing a hat is it can increase your perceived height. In fact, studies have shown about 1 to 2 inches, casual observers will generally mistake a person being taller. If you're a really short man, though, be careful, because it could come off as you've got some type of some short man complex there. All right, getting into male jewelry, watches, rings, cufflinks, and bracelets. So let's talk about timepieces. Timepieces, in general, have become more of a style statement than they are a functional piece. Now, of course, if you're in an athletic event or you're going to the gym, a watch makes sense, especially a sports watch. Get one that's going to accommodate your needs. Most guys don't seem to have a problem with this. What they have a problem with is whenever they transfer over to what to wear with a suit or what to wear with their nicer clothing. You don't want to be wearing a sports watch outside of the sport arena. Instead, look for something that's got a simple leather band and a simple timepiece. These are, in many cases, some of the dressier watches. The simpler a watch is, usually the more formal it is. Now let's talk about rings. Wedding rings are always permissible. It doesn't really matter if it's silver, gold, platinum. This is something you don't have to worry about matching metal with metal. Most of us don't think about that when we get our wedding ring. And if we did, well, we're lucky. But let's talk about rings beyond the wedding ring. Now, rings that are, let's say, class rings, or if you went to Texas A&M, you went to the Naval Academy, you went to Annapolis, you're a Mason. So these rings are club rings, and they are okay to wear as well, but just be aware that it will turn some people off. They're going to look at this ring, and they may know what it means, and they may form a stereotype of you. I mean, if you're in Houston, Texas, and you're wearing your A&M ring, and you interview with a Longhorn, I don't know if you're not going to get the job, but just be aware that you're, you know, kind of sending that signal there. I know in the military, there used to be a perception, you know, that the guys that were ring knockers, in a sense, you know, went to the Naval, when this is in the Marine Corps and the Navy, and they went to the Naval Academy, there was this feeling that, you know, there was an insider club, and a lot of guys on the outside of it, well, they had a little bit of animosity towards those that were on the inside of the club. Now, beyond two rings, to me, this is a culture thing. I travel and I spend a lot of time over in Ukraine. I've been over to Russia, Georgia, Belarus. So in those areas, men wear a lot more jewelry. They wear, and I don't really have an issue. But in the United States, expect that if some people start to see you wearing multiple rings, they have this feeling that you're, you know, you're in some type of organized crime or a mafia. So be sensitive to that, and consider if you're going to be going into a very conservative environment, trying to strike a big deal, to go ahead and take those rings off. Cufflinks. So to have cufflinks, you need to own a French cuff shirt. But cufflinks in general dress up a shirt, and they're normally seen. You always see them in black tie, white tie. I personally like cufflinks. I think that they can be worn even without a jacket. I've got a client in Austin, Texas, and all of his dress shirts have cufflinks. And he rarely, you know, he doesn't always wear a jacket, but he just feels that it's one thing which allows him to dress up his shirts. I have another client. He actually opted on all of his shirts to have no buttons, and instead he uses cufflinks and studs because he just found that the cleaners were tearing up and losing all of his buttons. In general, cufflinks give a dressier look, but be careful of where you're at in a company. If you're starting off in a finance company, look around. If the guys at the top are wearing cufflinks and you're not, you want to be careful there. I've heard of a little bit of let's just say they have a little bit of fun with the new hires, and they'll find little things like that they can rub into them. I haven't heard of anyone being fired for wearing cufflinks, but just be sensitive to what the office dress code is. Now, bracelets. Generally speaking, bracelets are harder to pull off. I've seen a lot of these plastic bracelets going around that are for a cause or for, you know, Live Strong and all this other stuff. You know, I guess if it really means something to you, go ahead. But I also saw a parody of this where a guy was wearing like 50 of these bracelets. And yes, so be careful with that. Now, I also have some gentlemen and some friends over at Street Etiquette, and they wear bracelets, but it's more tribal jewelry. And in that case, I definitely see a bit of heritage that they're sporting there, and I don't see a problem with it. Sunglasses. Your sunglasses should complement both your face and the situation you're going to be wearing them in. So there are those sunglasses that are made for extreme sports or extreme conditions. Keep those in the sport arena. Don't wear them with a suit. In the military, we had those really large Oakleys that wrapped around the face, and you could even get them. I think they had even an issue pair that you could get. Those worked well in extreme environments, which you're surrounded by dust, and that makes sense. You wouldn't want to wear a pair like that with a suit. You're going to end up looking, well, it's just not going to look great. Go for something simple, something classic. Aviators are probably something I recommend for most men. It's going to complement a high number of male facial types. But on sunglasses, I do recommend purchasing a good quality pair. And I'll use my own story. I purchased a pair of Maui Jims back in 2005. I still have those Maui Jims, and they were my go-to sunglasses. Now, before that, I purchased a lot of cheap sunglasses. And what I found is that not only they fell apart very quickly, but that I would treat them like cheap sunglasses and throw them around, leave them places. I can tell you that I spent quite a bit of money on those Maui Jims, and I treat them like something I spent quite a bit of money on. And so they've lasted 7 years, and they'll probably, I don't know how much longer they'll last. There is one small crack on them, but overall, I have gotten my money's worth. And it is something, it's interesting. Other people that wear them, they notice, and I've received a few compliments on them. Tie bars, tie chains, and tie tacks. Now, I'm not a big fan of tie tacks or anything that's going to tear up and go through a tie. A lot of people will say that it doesn't do any permanent damage. I think anytime you're poking and pinning a tie multiple times, yes, it will have some damage. In the military, we used tie bars. They were part of the uniform, and I felt they were more functional. They worked really well if you're going to be at an event which you'll be eating and you don't want your tie simply to fall in your soup. But most of the time, they're being worn as, you know, to add a little bit of pizzazz to whatever you're wearing. And, wear it in good taste. If you've already got multiple, if you've got cufflinks or you've got a tie pin, you know, probably leave it there. But if you don't have another small piece of jewelry on what you're wearing, then I think a tie bar or a tie chain is perfectly fine. The pocket square. I love pocket squares. I think, you know, the whole reason the breast pocket is there is to stuff it. So, and there are such a wide variety of different types of pocket squares that you can put in there in folds. So you can go with a straight fold, you can go with a puff fold, you can go with multiple point folds. It really depends on the message you're trying to send. I think a pocket square, a man should always try to wear one. It takes a little bit of courage at first, but start off with something simple, like a simple cotton white pocket square, and just show a little bit of the fold off. It doesn't require a whole lot there of, but it's going to draw attention. And I think it's a very simple way to show that you are a classy dresser. Wallets and money clips. So your wallet, it really depends on your needs. If you're going to be traveling and you need something really big because you're going to be traveling internationally and you're going to, you know, just going to be carrying a passport, look for a passport wallet. If you're going to be going out to the club at night, look for a money clip or a very thin wallet because you don't need to be taking out all of those receipts and all that other stuff. Yeah, you don't need 2 inches of bulge right in your back pocket right there, you know, when you're going out to the club. If you're an easy target for a pickpocket, and you know, you're going to end up hurting your back with all that stuff. So go through your wallet, eliminate what you don't need. And probably some of the best advice I've heard is consider having multiple wallets and go for the smallest wallets you can find. Because if the wallet is small, you're not going to be able to fill it up. And therefore you're going to prevent yourself from carrying around receipts which you've carried around for 2 years and you've never used. Your social security card, you do not need to be carrying that around in your wallet. You know, scan it, put it up on Dropbox or some other, you know, keep it somewhere else, you know, and have a copy at home, have the original at home, but don't carry it around in your wallet. Briefcases, notebooks, and handbags. I recommend you have at least one dark colored briefcase in your wardrobe. It sends a very professional signal versus a backpack. And I've really kind of said, hey guys, you know, once you're out of college, drop the backpack. And I know some of you guys have back issues, or perhaps you don't, you just can't be carrying everything in there. Then go for a bag that's a bit smaller. And like the wallet, if the bag is smaller, you're going to be able to put less in it, because really less is more. And you should find ways to try to go paperless, try to just carry less, and you're going to make it. You don't always need to be carrying, you know, that Gerber Leatherman and, you know, all those books and all this other stuff with you. Make a decision every time you're going out of what you're going to take and keep it minimum. Another idea also is a type of bag which carries or which has wheels, and that can also save your back if for some reason you need to bring a lot more with you. Finally, I talk about the boutonniere. The boutonniere is simply a flower in the lapel, and this is a classic accessory that's been around for, I mean, gosh, men have been wearing flowers for hundreds of years. So don't think that they're non-masculine. French soldiers, American soldiers, as they were going off to combat, their loved ones would pin flowers in their lapels. Flowers are used to remember events. I think in many ways, because if you look at the life of a flower, it's something that's beautiful and it's got a high point and it's fleeting. It disappears. It dies, much like us. And that's what I like to think about with a flower. And you're going to find women do appreciate it, and there at the end of the night, you've got something to give. All right, I'll see you guys in the next section where we're talking about how to build your wardrobe, part 4.